Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
This is really exciting. I don't know what movie Adam's seen, but I know it's Crazy Rich Asians because it's made so much money. Adam?
It has made a lot of money.
I see. Are there any Asians in it?
There were.
With speaking lines.
They did.
Okay.
I assume... I assume after being in this film, they're probably crazy rich.
Probably.
But it's not crazy rich Asians.
It would be the Meg.
The Meg. Not just Meg. Not a Meg or an Meg.
It's like I'm the Jane Ellen.
It's the Meg.
Okay. Now, I am for sure imagining Meg Griffin as...
I do not consistently watch Family Guy anymore, but... If they have not made that joke in the last, I don't know, let's say 3 months, or whatever their airing schedule is right now, I think Seth MacFarlane's fallen asleep behind the wheel.
Like, I mean, that needs to be
a movie called The, and like, I understand it didn't happen in the 90s, and he loves that wheelhouse, but I'm just telling you, like, there's a movie called The Meg. You have a character you like to make fun of called The Meg. Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, that needs to be done. So, and the problem is, in my mind, I just see her chomping around like a boy, you know.
And him, and you just hearing, like, instead of the John Williams, dun 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 dun, like, it's the. I see that. This joke writes itself.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of sharks. Before we actually review a film.
Right.
That this is about. The latest Sharknado, has that aired? The final Sharknado?
I'm going to be honest. I've only seen one of them. And
I've seen two.
It was because I couldn't find the remote. I was at a hotel or at a friend's. It was one of those. And I'm just like, I can't sleep. And... I don't want to wake everybody.
Okay.
Fine, we'll do this. Is that Ian?
Yeah.
Zero? What? Is that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, there's that.
I missed a moment, an iconic moment, because apparently everybody knew that this movie was going to happen on Sci-Fi, but you see, it doesn't stream that we watch. You know, there's nothing...
I mean, sure. It's good and great to be on a network. Like,
yeah.
I'm not even, like, seriously, like, if you let me be a guest star on, let's say, one of the Law and Orders.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if you don't have a streaming outlet, like, I haven't had cable or satellite or any of those things in...
A long time.
I might be inaccurate on, maybe 10 years, maybe slightly less, but, like, my phone or my... video game console or whatever I was streaming, Netflix, Hulu, like whatever those were out of, that's been my television stations.
I want to say at least I know that I had satellite until 2010. After that, I think sometime in 2010, 11 is when I went to Roku.
I think it was around. It was the first season of Game of Thrones because I had HBO at that point. I remember that, but after that, it's kind of
The point of
vague-ish.
Me saying this is
yes.
Everybody but us seemed to know that this was coming on Sci-Fi, and so they live tweeted during the show, and it was a riot. I read some of it. It's like, oh, that
it's
that
almost
could have been
Rocky horror like esque
yes.
kind of, but in a with a social media. Twist. Okay.
So it was the original showing, which was probably, you know, 7-8 central, that kind of thing. And
I can, like, looking at it, like, through that prism, I think I can accept its popularity more.
Yes.
But, like, I didn't get to experience it with that. It was like...
Six of them?
It was like, you know, 3 in the morning and I couldn't change the channel. Just like, I never appreciated Rocky Horror the way that... the individual that made me watch it with him wanted me to, but I had not been to like a live theater performance of it. I hadn't been to all of the things that I think people actually appreciate.
I watched Rocky Horror by myself at home.
That's what I'm saying. And the film is, it's a different experience
It is
than
different.
That. Or I think at least what has made apparently that in Sharknado popular is kind of the addendum.
We're going to review the movie in a minute. But speaking of Tim Curry, we had to watch Hunt for Red October. And because you said it, the whole time Anna Grace was pulling her hair out.
Yes.
The accent. She goes, why? Why? I said, that's just how it is.
Well, I think, to be fair, like, Hunt for Red October was a sizable hit back in the day. Harrison Ford, who they did want to participate in it, could not do it at that point. I want to say he was doing, like, Last Crusade or something like that, that he was previously committed to.
Alec Baldwin was spot on.
Oh, he's great. He's great in the movie. But Sean Connery at that point was a huge, huge star. And I'm sure, like, even they were just like, can you do a Russian accent?
Nah.
And then either he tried one and they were like, oh, no. Oh, dear. We can't let him do
and,
that.
And Sam Neill, I don't really know what he was doing, but it was something not really Sam Neill-y.
Kevin
still a good movie.
Kevin Costner in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Like, when he's not even... He is the English archer. And he's not even trying. I think the studios knew back in the day. They're just like, listen, Sean Connery, Sean Connery. We're going to sell more tickets if he's in it. Whether or not he's Russian. Like,
and you know what? I think I know when I first saw that Robin Hood, it never dawned on me. It was like an afterthought, or maybe after I saw it a second time. I think it's because we can watch and rewatch. We can go, because immediately Anna Grace said, how come when they're together, they're not speaking Russian that's subtitled? And Jim's like, that's just
because
so we don't have to read it.
Because they didn't want to subtitle the entire movie.
Right. That's it. And then we had to try to tell her who this particular Daddy Skarsgård was, and seeing as she hasn't and won't be seeing True Blood anytime soon.
Probably a good idea.
I said, okay, you know the creepy clown in It, the movie you've never seen? She goes, yeah, Pennywise. I said, Pennywise's dad. That's him. There you go. She couldn't place him from the Marvel Universe. I said, the guy on the roof, Pennywise's dad. The end.
And that got it for her. She's like, okay.
Yeah,
right, there it is. There
that
it
guy.
Is.
And then I wanted to go off with the Baldwin and the Skarsgård dynasties, but I reined it in.
And, you know, I guess with the advent or the popularity, at least, of home video, it probably has changed. Like, okay, back in the day, like, you had to, like, Disney made money for years re-releasing and re-releasing and re-releasing their animated classics.
Was it every 15 years?
I mean, it wasn't even in that then. Like, because, I mean, keep in mind, like, you couldn't wait for it to come on the Disney Channel and, like, you know, NBC didn't have it, like, you know, in 1962. So if you wanted to watch, you know, Fox and the Hound or Sleeping Beauty or whatever, you had to wait for Disney to re-release it in the theater. Like, you couldn't watch the scene on YouTube. Like, you didn't have the home video. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's the only way you could do it. Like, nitpicking, I think, has really only become as popular as it is because of our insatiable need to have it whenever we want it. Like,
I know it really jumped out at me when we owned on VHS Star Wars, A New Hope. And to get really specific, you know, when Luke was knocked down right before he meets Obi-Wan by the Tusken Raider, and his whole body language is changed because the continuity was so terribly off that I think by the fifth watching, it was like, hey!
But this was the point that you could run it back. Like, if I'm watching this in the theater in, like, let's say a re-release for 1979, or, like, maybe they re-release it right before they release Empire Strikes Back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't just sit there and watch it three times in a row if I can, but I'm going to have to pay whatever a theater ticket costs.
I think they paid us. It was so cheap.
Probably.
Here, kids, have a quarter. Watch
that. There you go. Here, watch the Saturday matinee.
Stay for the late one. Okay, so this podcast is about reviewing film.
And those were all films that we were talking about.
Yes, but this one in particular, The Meg. I want to see, just working off the trailer, what this might be about. People on a beach and in the water, and a very, very large shark who eats some of the people and then must be hunted, or is befriended and sings to them, and they ride off into the sunset.
Okay, number two, not so much. Number one, yes, but it's not at the beginning of the film. That's the happening during the climax.
Okay, so we don't see the Meg till.
Basically, you see the Meg.
Oh.
But they don't go to a beach, and they're not attacking, like, I don't know, civilians. Until near the end.
So
of
the Meg only eats people who deserve it.
No, I think Meg was eating just about anybody. Sometimes other fish, like.
And the Meg is a prehistoric creature that magically survived, or just a great white on steroids. How do we get the Meg? And is there a Mrs. the Meg?
If the, like a pink bow, like similar to Mrs. Pac-Man. I don't think they go into like a vast amount of detail explaining precisely how this animal has survived.
You know, those little snippets are actually some of my favorite parts of film. It's the exposition, the science exposition.
And science, yeah, quotation marks.
Yeah. Like, where, again,
that faux
M-class,
science.
M-class planet. Seems legit.
There's like a trench that, like, it's very hard for submarines to go down, blah blah blah. Don't mess with, like, what you, and it was there.
Mm-hmm.
They were messing with something that ought not be messed with, and
they released it. Was it captured?
Was it hiding?
I see. I want to know more. I want to know the fake science behind the fake shark in the real movie.
Well, considering that this film has almost, I think, doubled or tripled, like, its budget, there's probably going to be a, like, Meg-sized...
Son of the Meg.
Or, yeah, like, or, you're going to get the deluxe, like, Blu-ray of it that they show, like, the stuff on the cutting room floor. This kind of film used to be... Or at least, maybe not used to be, in the late 90s,
mm-hmm.
It was very popular for something to attack landmarks, cities.
Oh, yes.
Like your Independence Days, your Godzillas, your Armageddons. Like, this was Hollywood's bread and butter before they realized that people desperately wanted superheroes. All of them.
Because we saw in real life these things get attacked, and we decided, no.
And, like, not even I think maybe Independence Day is one of the best examples of this type of movie. And I'm not saying, like, they invented the disaster genre, because you've got Towering Inferno. You have a lot of movies.
Ishtar.
Not that kind of disaster.
Okay.
And I think, in particular, this film, because I kept coming back to Independence Day with it, you've got...
Is Jeff Goldblum in it?
No, that would have made it much better.
What
this film was missing?
Could he be the voice of the Meg?
He can be the. Listen, I'm not going to disqualify Jeff Goldblum from doing anything. Like, if you want him as the voice of Darth Vader in A New Hope, I'm in.
Luke.
I'm just saying, like, you want to interject him into anything. You want to take, if you want to take Robin Williams out of Aladdin, and you want him to be the new voice of the. I'm just saying, like, I'll give it I will give it one shot with Goldblum. Like, if you want to change all of the dinosaur screams in Jurassic Park to him voicing over what the dinosaur is thinking, Jane, I'm in. Well, I am in.
Clearly, we need to spend weeks in front of some video software just to make our dreams come true.
That's like, but this film does not have Jeff Goldblum.
Oh.
It also does not have Will Smith's charisma. Independence Day is not a film that is particularly well written.
Oh, hell no.
Say it. Oh, hell no. It's
okay.
Part of the, there's a tilde over there. It's okay. A lot of people miss that part of the pronunciation.
Speaking of tilde, Tilda Swinton. Well, we'll talk about that later. Anyway.
whose name I don't think has a tilde.
No. She's really rocking the otherworldly look now.
Yes, I will agree. Yes. Yeah, that's a big... We'll check. Check in. Check plus.
It's like she had a smaller head than the big brain people in the pilot for Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know, But it's that that's shrunken. But other than that,
they didn't have enough money for nose prosthetics that week. So they're just like, here, you have balloon hair. Next, like.
And she's a brilliant actress, but, huh?
That's some hair.
She makes some interesting choices, for personal appearances. That's all.
If you want to get noticed, you got to walk outside. You got to walk outside that line.
Okay, the movie.
Will Smith's charisma.
Oh, is not in this movie.
No, Jason Statham, who is, I think, kind of
who
where...
is in this movie.
Yes, yes. He is more or less the star.
Okay, now I need to
film.
Tell you something important about him. I'm going to show you, actually. I have a friend named
Excellent.
Douglas.
You should always show things on podcasts.
Well, I'm going to encourage other people. Go to IMDb, if you will, and look up my close personal friend. No, really, he's a friend of mine. This is why I'm only one step away from Kevin Bacon. This guy. His name is Douglas Terrell. T-A-U-R-E. Adam, do it yourself. Douglas Terrell.
Sure, sure.
And Douglas Terrell is Bruce Willis-esque, but I swear every time I see Statham, I think Douglas is in a huge part. It's like, oh, that's not him. And you'll see it. You will come to recognize that I am right in all of this. Did you see? No?
No, that was something
I need
else.
To show it to you so you can go, I'm
my,
right.
My phone is almost dead.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, so I was very excited when I saw that Douglas had a starring role in a major film, and to find out it is not him, which is what happens every time I see Jason Statham. Oh, but The Spy, that would have been really funny. Okay, hold on. It's coming up. Just talk amongst yourselves.
The thing about Statham, he is kind of where Wesley Snipes was when you had Bruce Willis, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Sly Stallone. Kind of they got the A-list, like action movies. Then you had kind of like that second tier. Let me hold on one second.
We got to look. Looking at Douglas.
Yeah.
I
see that parallel though. Now, does he have his abs?
Oh yeah, he's also a trainer.
There's a scene in The Meg that I really think
he was in the cobbler?
It must have been there just because Statham was like, well, I want to show my abs, and they'll be like, well, I mean,
okay,
sure, that doesn't really, whatever. Here, just do it here. Just do it here.
Just show him. Yeah. He's very, when he and Statham are not next to each other, that's the issue for me. Oh, he played a thug in The Cobbler. Look, thug.
Well, a man that looks like Jason Statham could probably pull off thug.
Yeah. But he does, you know, talking stuff too. But okay.
And I also assumed that, like, with Rann Wilson being in this movie.
Oh, I didn't know he was.
Yeah, he's in it. But when I think of him and his talents, I think of funny.
Yes.
I assumed that Statham was going to be the Will Smith,
yeah,
and Rann Wilson was going to be your Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm.
If they were both falling very short of their duties in this movie.
He's a duty. Huh.
And like I said, like Independence Day does not succeed because of the groundbreaking special effects. It doesn't succeed because it's particularly well written. Independence Day's greatest strength was Will Smith's charisma.
Yeah.
And him and Goldblum, like, their back and forth, their chemistry and that's what made that film. Like, they try to recreate it much later, like, what, 20-some-odd later?
Yeah, I watched that. Yeah.
And Will Smith is not in it. Like, in the same way that Dan Aykroyd should have taken a hint that Belushi was not going to be able to be in Blues Brothers 2000 and go, I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
If you've seen Blues Brothers 2000, it kind of comforts me that Ghostbusters 3 never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think Dan Aykroyd is probably insane. Like, mm-hmm. And I love him. Like, he's responsible for some of my favorite movies.
It's important to know his wife went to my college.
But
so did Judge Reinhold. Not his wife, but Judge.
And who is not an actual judge?
None of these people went at the same time as each other or me. Continue.
That would have been a really interesting graduating class, though.
I know, wouldn't it?
like I said, this film I think is hurt by that. A lot of people have said, like, it was on, it's kind of like, it's
so
a
there's
parody.
No essence of fun to it?
There is, but I don't think in the way that I wanted it to be. Like, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Okay.
But I don't think Jason Statham is the leading man that a lot of other people think that he is. I think he's kind of like Wesley Snipes was back in the day. He's kind of a poor man's, like, action. Like, whenever you've paid, like, okay, Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Johnson had been in this movie. Dwayne Johnson does have charisma.
Yes,
like,
he
he's
does.
Got charisma to spare.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Statham is an adequate actor. Like, mm-hmm. there was nothing he did in this movie that I found particularly, like, reprehensible, or I'm just like, he is so cardboard and boring in this. But, like, he doesn't draw me to see him. Now, granted, like, the man physically fits that persona.
Draws you to see him.
Like, he is able to do the action scenes that he was doing. Like, I believe that he is a dominating presence. Like, mm-hmm. if he's going to get into some kind of fisticuffs with somebody, I understand that.
I love that you said fisticuffs. Yes.
Because, well, I'm not the guy that you put into those situations. I'm not Jason Statham. If Jason Statham was standing here, I'd show him all the respect in the world.
But you and Jason Statham together, I think, would be a lovely team.
I would. You talking about, like, almost like where I'm inside his
mind? A buddy
mind.
Picture, eh? A buddy picture.
Like, you Freaky Friday, the two of us. Like, I get to have Jason
okay,
Statham.
No, I wasn't going there.
No?
At
no?
all. No.
Okay.
I was going there in that, you know, you're the nerdy neighbor who helps him solve
Wait
crime.
A minute. Am I his Kevin Hart? Is that
yes!
What you...
Yes!
Okay, I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I buy that. Like, you've got the Dwayne Johnson and Kevin Hart, or Will Ferrell.
Okay.
I'd be yeah. Jason Statham's Kevin Hart.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I thought the spy was hilarious in parts, only because Melissa McCarthy consistently makes me laugh just looking at her.
The woman is, like, she knows how to find the funny in the scene and draw it
mm-hmm.
out.
And I thought the spy, I don't know how much it made, but I know that Jim and I watched it at the same time, and I got a few, I mean, I was entertained. Not, oh my God, best movie ever.
I may not love the movie she's in, but I do love her in the movies I see her in.
The scene when she's with Jason Bateman, and she won't stop singing because she stole his identity. That scene, whatever that movie is, still cracks me up. They're doing a long car trip and...
Identity thief?
Maybe,
identity
yeah.
Theft.
Probably identity something something.
It's one of those. I don't remember the exact
And, you know, he's doing his thing, being exacerbated and adorable at the same time. And she won't stop. And I want to see all the outtakes. And I can just watch that scene over and over.
I'll grant you. There's not a lot that I have seen her do that I like. Again, that's not the scene that I want to run back to. It's usually the one with her in it. I completely believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very, very nicely done. So, I am assuming we're gonna have a sequel.
It has made enough money, I think, for them to consider it, and there is enough people left at the end of the film that you can facilitate that.
Because it's important to have those people return.
I understand. But I'm saying, okay, even like Jaws 4 had, what was it, Brody's wife or something like that? Sometimes it's just whoever you can get. And there are enough people left over that you can do a Meg 2 if you want to. And this kind of film, like that disaster genre or... blowing up or destroying, like, landmark genre, whatever you want to call that.
Hmm.
It's almost like the Western, like, is now, like,
it's,
back
it's
in
called
the
blow mark genre.
Is that, are you
blowing
sure?
up the landmark is
okay,
the blow
right.
mark.
Are you sure, and you didn't just portmanteau that right now? Somebody else has said that? Maybe. I don't know that they haven't.
Exactly. I don't know if they haven't, but the blow mark genre of blowing up landmarks.
I think the blow mark... Hashtag blow mark.
Or better yet, hashtag blark.
I think it's what, at one point in time,
hashtag
in
Mighty
film,
Joe Young.
You had every film was a Western. Every TV show was mm-hmm. a Western. And at a certain point, audiences stopped watching that. For a while in the 90s, like, every film was one of those, like, they famously had two, what was it, Dante's Peak, is that right?
Yes, and Inferno,
Volcano. You had, to the point that you had films that were competing within months of each other that featured the same disaster.
I found one of them very funny. Which one was it?
You'll have to give me more than that.
I don't recall. I just know one of them struck me as so ridiculous.
It's probably Volcano. Volcano was pretty ridiculous.
Okay, then it was that one. I chuckled a bit.
And at a certain point, like, they grew so big, like the spectacle, and they stopped making money. So studios kind of pulled away from that. And eventually, like, I don't want to admit this, superheroes will reach that point.
I know.
There's going to be one that they spend $400 million on, and it's going to make half of that back.
It's going to totally tank.
And like I said, it doesn't look like it now, but that happens to every kind of genre that you can find. It
For
happened
instance,
to the Western. It happened
musicals.
To the disaster.
I love me some musicals. But, you know, we, the people, don't churn out musicals, unless you're Bollywood. We don't churn out musicals
like we did in the
40s and 50s.
Now, occasionally you will have, like, a talent try to put a spin back on one of those that doesn't show up. Like, You have Westerns now. Like, every 3 or 4 years, it seems like you get a really solid Western.
But it's not The Unforgiven.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, or Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
You will get a film in that genre every so often that people are like, oh, I loved these kind of movies. Spielberg is doing West Side Story. That's his next film.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd say, the musical version?
Yes. Like, every so often, you will get, like, you had Chicago.
Are we
in
it?
2001.
Can we be in it?
Yeah. Spielberg is in constant contact with me. He just told me to pick.
Well, you could... now, is it going to be, you know, the same Caucasians versus Puerto Ricans?
I'm not certain about
that.
But that's the film he's doing next. I'm saying, like, there are musicals every so often. And there are really good musicals every so often, just like there are good Westerns every so often. And you've got, it seems like somebody might try to do, like, a Geostorm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Geostorm. I didn't see it. But, like, it kind of tapped that disaster itch. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't a huge success. But there is enough of an audience for these. If you'll do it cheaply enough, you can still make these movies. It's just you're not getting Bruce Willis, Ben Affleck, Liv Tyler, and Michael Bay to do one. You're not spending $200 million on them anymore.
For instance, Adam and I would do it for $50,000.
Yeah.
Just for both of us. We'd split it.
And I honestly think that's what The Meg was. It was, and it just happened to strike the right chord with the right audience of people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't my, like, pot of tea, but they weren't making this movie for me either. And I completely understand why someone, in a world where Sharknado can have, what is it, five
Six.
Sequels?
The sixth one is
and,
coming
in
out.
In that world, there is an audience for The Meg. Now, you can't spend $500 million on this movie and have it be successful. Like, The Meg was not going to make $2 billion. It wasn't going to make $1 billion. But if you can keep these at the, like, shoot it for $100 million, like, worldwide, you can probably get, I'd say before it's all said and done, they can get $500-600 million out of this movie.
Now, surprisingly, we have spoken about this for half an hour and not likened it to Jaws. So is it more that you couldn't possibly because it is just not that good?
Jaws is a classic.
Like, Jaws is one of my favorite
Jaws
movies.
Is almost Hitchcockian.
Yes.
In its execution. Like, the tense way that they play with expectations. Like, honestly, Jaws is a masterclass.
Yeah.
The Meg, or I mean, people have also compared this to Jurassic Park. That's another movie directed by the same guy that understands how to mess with your expectations and how to get you just frothing at the mouth. In anticipation, like, there, if you will compare, say, Jurassic World's effect shots to Jurassic Park's effect shots, like, there's not even, I want to say there's a total of, like, maybe 70, something like that. Mm-hmm. It's a ridiculously low amount, but you remember all of this stuff that happened in that movie, and a lot of it's off camera.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg knows when he should show it to you and when he shouldn't show it to you.
Which he learned in Jaws. So,
or even to a better, like, if you had Duel, he also did.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying,
disturbing.
Like, I don't, they are about sharks and they are about, like, danger in with human life and all that. Mm-hmm. But Jaws is on its own pedestal. Mm-hmm. I don't want to bring that into it just because there are a lot of similarities between the movie, but John Turteltaub is not Steven Spielberg, and this movie is not Jaws. Like, and I don't mean that in an insulting right. way, but like Jurassic Park and Jaws are classics. There is almost no fat that you need to trim mm-hmm. out of those movies. They're essential viewing. They are blockbusters at their absolute best. The Meg is entertaining, you know, kind of escapism for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I will probably never watch The Meg again. I'm just saying, like, I don't want to bring out that movie just because it's like every time I watch a mob film, do I want to bring out The Godfather? Is The Godfather an exceptional movie? Is Goodfellas an exceptional? Yes, both of them are. Is every film that uses some of those elements as good as Goodfellas or The Godfather or Godfather Part Two? No. And if you start doing that, you're never going to be able to watch mm-hmm. another movie. And Jaws is an incomparable movie. Mm-hmm. Spielberg, I think, rightly decided he couldn't do a follow-up to it. And, I mean, even when he had the chance to do a follow-up to Jurassic Park, it's not as good. It's good, but it's not as good as Jurassic Park.
I'm going to have to bring Die Hard in as well.
Well, Rennie Harlan.
It's just so well done.
He was the one that did the sequel. You did not get McTiernan to do the immediate. He does the third one, which, by the way, is better than the second one. Is it better than the first one? No. Die Hard with a Vengeance is really good. But it's not Die Hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it has every advantage that the first, and probably a lot of the, none of the disadvantages.
It didn't have Hans Gruber, though. See?
It does have his brother. Jeremy Irons makes a very serviceable Gruber.
Oh,
but
well,
he's not Alan Rickman.
Yeah.
I love Die Hard with a Vengeance, but it's not Die Hard.
Right.
I mean, like I said, when you get a film that is just that perfect, you almost don't want to do a follow-up to it, because even if you've got all of these elements, getting it to lightning to strike just like that again is going to be near impossible.
Yeah, I get excited when I realize, oh, I can show the girls this. And inside, I'm trying to shut up about it. Don't make too big of
Let
a deal.
Let them experience the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, The Meg isn't a bad movie. I was not enthralled by it. Like, check the movie out if you like that genre.
Okay. You are in a hotel and or friend's house or a friend's house that looks like a hotel.
And it's on, like, Showtime or something.
You can only get two channels. One is showing Sharknado 6, one is showing The Meg. Which one do you watch?
I would say, based on the production values of those two movies, because they're very similar films,
mm-hmm.
I'd say probably go with The Meg.
Okay. There you go.
I mean, and like I said, I don't want to insult the movie because it's not.
So it's
not
fine.
A terrible. Yeah, yeah.
It's
I'll
fine.
Give it that. Like, you don't have the charisma of a Will Smith in it. Like, Rann Wilson is not used in the way they probably should have.
Is it as charismatic as, let's say, a Mighty Joe Young?
Well, depending on which Mighty Joe Young you're talking about.
The
Jane.
One that we love to talk about.
The first one, the original, the black and white?
Hashtag MJY. Does it have that type of charisma?
I'm like, I've got a pet rock that at least has
pet rock necklace.
That amount of charisma.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm just like, I don't want to turn people away from this movie, but like, it just, it's non-essential. Check it out at some point if you like. Like, okay, my dad and my father-in-law, they'll watch any Western that's on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're one of those people that just likes disaster movies or like kind of the unstoppable, like monster, like kind of watch it. It will entertain.
Ain't gonna hurt nothing.
Yeah. But I like I said, when you invoke Jaws, that's when I'm just kind of going.
So watch it, but just lower the bar.
Yeah. If you dig on Sharknado, You'll probably enjoy this. If you like Jason Statham in action roles, and I can't imagine he does a lot of dramatic.
Does he take his shirt off a lot? People might go for that.
I don't know if it's a lot, but his shirt is off.
Speaking of shirts off, because this has nothing to do with The Meg, Jim from The Office.
Ripped.
Oh, my God.
Has been since, was it 13 hours? 13, yeah. Because, that's when I remember noticing that his bicep was the size of a bowling ball.
And again, I will invoke Star Trek, much like Kirk in the original series, he is shown shirtless or getting dressed at every opportunity just because they can.
Yeah. And I tell you, if they do get to do the kind of the, what do you call those, the revamps or the... They're talking about doing The Office kind of similar to what they did with the Roseanne.
Yes.
The revival. If they do, I want them to make jokes about how ripped Jim is now.
Weren't they talking also about a Parks and Rec and 30 Rock combo?
Talking about those and Frasier as well.
All four of them together?
No, they're not. It's not. They're not doing a crossover, a massive crossover. Yeah, X-Files is in there too. Like... They're talking about having, like, individual revivals of these, like, 10 episode, like, commitments. Mm-hmm. And, like, I'm kind of interested to see what they do with that. It's TV movies, I don't, because of the lack, the amount of time that you have, like, it's harder to do those. But, like, a little 8-10 episode thing, like, I kind of, it intrigues me. And like X-Files, the recent like revival they did, succeeded, I don't know, 60% of the time, 50% of the time. There's some really good episodes in there. And then there's some crap.
And they're just done with it?
Gillian Anderson has said that she's done. And as much as I love the X-Files, it's about Mulder and Scully. And if you can't have Mulder and Scully... I think you need to, same way, like Harold Ramis. Harold Ramis is no longer with us. If you don't have Harold Ramis, you can't do Ghostbusters 3.
With men.
Well,
yes.
That's not Ghostbusters 3.
Yes,
I'm saying
you're
it's
right.
Ghostbusters. I'm saying the film that I have in my head, the one with Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, if that is what you're going to revisit and Harold Ramis cannot participate, you don't need to do it.
Yeah, I concur. Very much so. All right. Oh, I did want to add, because this really ties in with the Meg. I love it how in 30 Rock that Kelsey Grammer is a con man.
Yeah.
And he is playing Kelsey Grammer.
But let me also ask you this. What did you not love about 30? Wouldn't it be easier and shorter to just be like, I didn't like this?
You know, the girls...
Talking... You and I have said it's a separate podcast, Jane. If you want to talk about everything that we love about 30 Rock, like I'm just telling you, that's a multi-year commitment.
I was just going to say
everyday podcast saying all of the great things about 30 Rock.
So we're watching Hunt for Red October, and I had told them ahead of time who was Jack Ryan, and I think Anna Grace was just not looking up or anything, but the voice, she goes, I know that voice. That's Jack Donaghy. He was so handsome. And
which is
a running joke.
Alec Baldwin is not a repulsive now.
No.
But you're talking about late 80s Alec Baldwin. Like, it's, and I feel strange for needing to say this, but like, I mean, he is just like, I don't want to say dreamy because I don't think it's masculine enough.
No, he is, they have running jokes in it the whole time through 30 Rock, alluding to how handsome he was in the 80s, for real.
Alec Baldwin, especially of the Baldwin brothers, like, he was the bee's knees.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem. I don't feel like I lose any masculinity by saying that. But, like, Alec Baldwin in Beetlejuice and Hunt for Red October in The Shadow, like... That he is an appealing man. Like, he is very, like...
He's a manlier Paul Rudd. Huh?
I think I'll grant you that.
I'm thinking.
And
a handsomer, manlier Paul Rudd. And we love us some Paul Rudd.
Yeah. But yeah, like, Baldwin, back in that day, and like, he doesn't... I mean, you're also talking about, like, being 30 years removed from that. And, like, he didn't even, like, Brando himself out. Like, it's not like he just went to just absolute, like, he didn't just drive into the ditch.
Mm-mm.
He just got older, and he wasn't quite as just...
And he wasn't Harrison Ford, and therefore did not get the franchise. So, and that's another podcast. Alec Baldwin, I think, would come on our show. I think he would.
I'd love to think he would, yeah.
If he knew it existed. Because I could just talk with him.
It's just a matter of getting him to...
Just as soon as Spielberg calls me back, because I have a call into him.
Because I'm sure they know each other.
Of course they do. Yeah. We can line this up. You know, That will happen, for sure. We were reviewing the Meg. Eh, is the response. Eh.
Check it out eventually if it's something that appeals to you.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I don't think it demands that you run out and do it immediately.
First, watch Jaws or watch Jaws again, and then say to yourself, do I need
Jaws
to see...
Jaws again is not one of the names of the sequels either. She means watch the original Jaws a second time.
And then say, do I need to see a movie about sharks that is not as good as this? I'm the only one who can answer that.
The scene that you have them, what is it, the Indianapolis, is that the name of the ship?
Oh, yes.
Just watch that, and I'm saying, like, there's no shark in that. Like, the camera is not doing something crazy in it. The scene between the three of them where he is talking about the Indianapolis.
211 went down.
I'm just, like,
17 came back.
Why wasn't that one of the Jaws sequels?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just, like... That's the reason why Jaws is the masterclass that it is. There, nothing is happening. You just have an actor delivering dialogue. And it's spellbinding.
Yes.
And you've got Richard Dreyfuss. I'm just saying, like, the talent. Roy Scheider. Like, that's just, it's just oozing all of this talent.
See, that's why when people say, oh, Jen, can you act? It's like, much like Jerry Seinfeld, I can act like me. Or a version of me. Can I do something like that and in my mind have it be good? No.
You're not a Daniel Day-Lewis, is what you're saying.
Maybe I could be trained to be. I do not find that I would be believable delivering something like that. Maybe to, I don't know, a Rock, I would be amazing. Because there are some very poorly acted Rock people out there.
I'll grant you that.
Yes.
I'll grant you that.
Some even starred in The Shield. But... anyway, the commish. He's a poorly acting Rock, right? I'm reaching for it.
I believe that is what TV Guide described him as.
I'm reaching for something made of rocks, and then there's
the 1986
rock
television season. The commish is a poorly acted Rock. He'll be like, there was no better blurb you could have pulled from any review. That was the best.
Followed by, this movie is not directed by Steven Spielberg. This movie is not Jaws.
It didn't make it to the poster. Like, sometimes I ain't a man of the people. I'm sorry.
I can tell you this. Other than listening, these podcasts, Adam and I listen to ourselves because we're so in love with us doing this.
I don't want to admit to it.
I can't help it because I don't usually like to listen to myself.
I won't tell you that I don't. How about that?
Okay. So I have to take a very depressing road trip. Part of it, thank you, constant streaming from Verizon, which I really should turn off, but I'm not going to because of this trip. I'm going to watch Jaws. Not while I'm driving, but I'm going to watch Jaws. You know I am.
And maybe Jurassic Park.
I did that last time.
Oh, okay.
I listened. That's what you need to do. If there's a movie you really, really love, listen to it, and you'll just pick up on so many more things. Because, again...
It shuts down your other... Yeah. It's the same reason why Daredevil's an effective superhero.
Exactly.
It's precisely all of the same reasons that he can defeat 50 ninjas.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going for. Okay. And so, you are going to see what?
Dirty,
say it.
Dirty, filthy, rich...
Say it.
Like,
say it.
What is it?
Crazy.
Sane, poor honkies, I think is the... Crazy, rich
Asians. Yes. And then you, everyone's already seen it apparently, but you and I, but then you're going to give us your take on a movie where I do not think anything blows up.
That may be a first for
the show.
Like,
I don't think there are any car chases. Now, subject of aliens, well, not the kind that we talk about. I really don't know what the connection's going to be, but I want you to find something to like.
It's not that I am opposed to this type of film. Like, just because, am I diametrically opposed to Amish people? No. Like, do I necessarily have anything in common with them? No. Like, did I like Weird Al Yankovic's Amish Paradise?
Oh, yes.
Well, yes. Yes, I did. That has nothing to do with any of this.
Wasn't Seth Green an Amish guy in some movie?
Probably. That's a weird question. I wasn't expecting that today. He gets a, every time he goes on the Tonight Show, he gets asked that
okay.
question.
Because I can't be bothered to look it up. The guy who's in the hot tub time machine,
right.
who's the young one, who looks like he's overweight but probably really isn't, but just has that pudgy look to him.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? That guy. He's probably in Superbad. He hangs out with that
Jonah
bunch.
Hill?
No. No, not as well known as Jonah Hill.
Okay. Right.
You will recognize this guy.
Probably.
Anyway, he... What was I saying? He...
I don't even know now. Like, I'm to be honest, like, I'm in the middle of a...
Oh! Seth...
Green?
Green. Now I have to look it up. Seth Green Amish. Oh, by the way, I was reading trailers... actually just looking at posters of movies that are going to open up. And I thought it was Seth Green that was in some movie, and it's not. It's that young Weasley boy again. He seems to be in everything.
Tattered one. Must be a Weasley.
Okay. Seth.
The point I was making with just because I am not for something does not necessarily mean that I'm against it. And watching... I mean, even the previews that I'm sure that are going to play before Crazy Rich Asians are probably not going to be previews for movies that I would find myself drawn to go see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
I mean, obviously, there is a market for these films.
This is just
I don't know that it's me, but we'll see my take on it.
Clearly, this movie did not do well, so now I'm going to have to look up Hot Tub Time Machine.
Well, I mean, also, to be fair, how often can I rattle off whatever it is you're asking? Like, as long as it's not bizarrely obscure. I can do obscure. But you got to, sometimes you got to give me more than that, too.
Okay. Clark Duke.
I think you made that name up.
Clark Duke is in Hot Tub Time Machine.
I think you.
Too.
You invented
and,
that.
Hold on.
Of Google. You created a Wikipedia entry.
I now have to look and see what other movies Clark Duke was in. It's kind of... See, now you'll recognize him. See?
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay.
Now I do.
All yeah. Right. He's an American actor known for Kick-Ass, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Man,
come on.
That's a whole bunch of
He work. Was in The Office.
Was he one of the temps?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember.
Yes. He's going to be in The Croods too. Okay. Clearly.
There's a Croods too?
Apparently. I did not know that. Well, now this just isn't helping me about the movie that I'm trying to think of. Wait. Sex Drive. That was it. Look. 2008. Seth Green. Where's the poster? Come on, show. The poster has Seth Green. He's the guy in the hat. Seth Green, Amish guy.
Much in the same way that you and I talked about Mighty Joe Young's remake the other week. More people have talked, we have talked about Seth Green's Amish movie more than it ever.
There you go.
Yep, it was a thing. She is correct. Like I am.
Ruder, cruder, neuter. Clark Duke, Seth Green, and James Marsden. The things that I remember, when you have Seth Green, who to me is Oz from Buffy, you know, the werewolf, and all of a sudden he's being the Amish guy, you remember it.
That's well, I mean, he'll be Dr. Evil's son in my mind, but, I mean, yeah, for the same reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, that's all I remember about that movie. It's probably horrible, and I don't know why I would have ever seen it. But
it was of note because Seth Green
was the Amish guy.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. There we know. So that's our review of The Meg.
Exactly. It's no more scatterbrained or rife with tangents than any other film that we've ever reviewed.
Good times. Great oldies.
Good times.
All right. This has been Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.